This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here. Another check-in with the Oregon State Legislature. The session underway. State Senator Floyd Przanski, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Hey, Kyle, thank you very much for having me.
So, first of all, earlier this week, the state revenue forecast came out, and it seemed like a lot of folks were surprised, given what they'd been expecting. Tell us what your reaction was to the revenue forecast, and maybe also more about what the data shows.
Well, I was surprised based on just some indications of those who are actually in the committee that works on revenue issues. They felt that things were not going to be as hopeful as it appears, you know, to the point where we actually now are looking at potentially having the personal kicker kick. And so that tells you how revenue's up. The unfortunate part is we actually had the economists come into our caucus virtually to give us a kind of an overview after it had been released. And for many of the members, including myself, that were not on the committee and weren't there when the presentation took place, he was able to give us some perspective. And the problem, unfortunately, is we have some people who are doing very, very well, even though we have a COVID situation that we're dealing with. But as we know, most of the people of Oregon that we are dealing with seem to have more of a negative impact on their life as compared to these few areas that seem to not be miss a beat economically in their endeavors. So that's just one of those things that it's kind of surprised to see the revenue basically up.
So what kind of other reaction were you hearing from other lawmakers about that situation?
I would say that everyone was somewhat caught off guard, as I just mentioned, as to didn't think it was going to be as positive as it was. But the bottom line is everyone understands at the legislature how individual families and individuals themselves are still dramatically impacted with the COVID restrictions that have occurred, the inability to continue to be employed at the work that you do, and how you're making ends meet. And so we also understand that they need assistance and continue to provide the assistance that's going to be long-term, long-scaled, as compared to a temporary fix to the issue. And so one of the things that we don't want to do is overextend ourselves in on the revenue side of expenditures, only to have another shift that would cause us to be unable to maintain whatever new levels of spending that are going to potentially occur, or these one-time fixes, and then, you know, compound it, as we know, for Douglas County with the Archie Creek fire. Think of all the other major fires that we had on that Labor Day evening, and how we're still trying to help those families be able to reestablish in their existing communities and be able to stay there or reunite with their community.
I know I saw in some of the reaction on both sides of the aisle, different lawmakers put statements out. I ran across several of those. And one of the things was sort of a cautionary note saying sort of what you just encapsulated there, that this is not the time to go out and be pushing for something new or a new way to spend revenue. And even though that's the forecast, caution should be the order of the day.
Very, very much. And there's a lot of things still in play. And, of course, there's a lot of variables we have no control over. And one of those areas is in with the federal system and the government as to what additional ongoing relief we're going to see to deal with the COVID situation, and also how they may be pivoting in the future and what that might have in the way of tax consequences for Oregon and Oregonians.
So where did state revenue go up? I mean, I didn't try to get into the very thick data, but were there areas of particular note that the state revenue went up?
I wish I could answer that question for you, Kyle. I too have just been maxed out as to being able to decipher everything. And since it's not a committee that I'm on, I'll just have to be frank with you. That's my weekend reading.
And an exciting weekend it will be, going over going over financial documents. Let's talk about the state budget process then. I want to have it kind of clear for folks about, you know, where the budget year, the biennium starts and ends.
Well, it's this is our budget building session. The long sessions, which are always in the odd number year, is when we build a two-year budget. Even though the voters back in 2010 gave the legislature the authority to be meeting on an annual basis where we only met every other year previously, we still budget on a two-year cycle, which is really important. I mean, to budget on an annual basis, as the federal government does, I think is a losing lost cause, because you don't have enough longevity and stability for everyone to understand where we're going and how we're trying to get there. So I still appreciate that having a two-year budget built. So basically the budget that's being built now will start July 1 of this year, and it will go to 2 years, and so until 2023, June 30th, it would be the end of that budget biennium.
So obviously a very important time in the cycle. Will the forecast change what has been asked of agencies in terms of what budget they propose for themselves?
I would say no. It may give a little tweaking here and there that maybe some of the agency heads or the bean counters within those agencies say, okay, well, maybe we can flex here. But the big caution I took away from the meeting from the forecast, the economist, is that we will have another forecast in May. And until we see that, and that's usually the end, well, it's the final budget we see before we conclude our session, and that's where everything will have a kind of a finality. But there was also another word of caution because of everything being so unstable with the pandemic. We have a situation that we really don't understand won't understand and have a clearer picture until after the May budget going into the next quarter. And so this is going to be one of those situations that we're going to have those who are more of our experts to utilize what we have in May, work the best budget, hopefully being conservative in how we're going to be expending our resources to ensure that when we get the next one, which would be in, I think it's in August, I think it comes out right before September, that area, we'll have a better understanding as to whether it's tracking in a be a positive track, or if we're going to see some slipbacks because of could be variables we have no control over outside of Oregon.
So as the new budget is put together, where do you believe the spending priorities should be?
Well, I mean, clearly we need to continue to do everything we can, and with the assistance of the federal government, to ensure those who have been displaced from the fires. And, you know, most people realize in our area, we're talking about the Archie Creek fire, the Holiday Farm fire, which is the McKenzie, the two fires down in the Phoenix area, the Alameda fire, and then the ones that are up on the Saniam. But there's also the fires that were over in Lincoln County. And so we have a lot of places within Western Oregon that have been adversely impacted. So I really think it's very important for us to be putting the resources into those communities. And one of the things that I think the state should be working for is how do we rebuild the infrastructure for families to be able to rebuild where they're at, and still at the same time making certain that we don't see unintended consequences such as water degradation in our river systems and stuff like that. So basically what I'm getting at is where we need to, and I know of at least two of the fires having some type of better sewer type approach, septic systems. How do we as a state maybe help encourage through financial means building out the infrastructure that's going to be ongoing for generations in the future, not piecemealing something just to get a family back in, only for them to have to deal with the consequences of having a system that's going to, if it's not still, failed.
And in some of these cases, and when you talk about water systems and all of that, it's where I have very, very little knowledge. But what I've been able to discern from much smarter folks is that you take a look at some of these situations, and you have, especially in these rural areas, you have homes that you have a very long line, maybe going from a road to a home, something like that. And maybe when the house was built, it took years just to get that built into the system. There's so many aspects of this that are going to take a lot of time to solve before somebody could even begin to pound, 1-2 before to start a house over.
That's true. Very, very true. And I mean, I'm going to come back to another point that Commissioner Kress brought up in one of the town hall open forums we had earlier this week. But no, it's very, very true. You got to get the systems in place that's going to be able to be accessed, as well as ones that are, let's say, the newer generation type of systems. And some of the stuff that we talked about was just, what is it for building purposes? What can we do? There's been a lot of discussion. I know that there's some individuals that have modular type of rebuilds that they want to do, but they're waiting for the permits to come in. And we've heard that on the Holiday Farm fire. Again, that's the McKenzie River fire. And then what Commissioner Kress brought up to us, and I have my staff working on it now, is that the cleanup on up on Glide on the Archie Creek fire, that there's a lot of equipment that has been moved in place, but there's no action. There's no work happening. And that has to be extremely, extremely frustrating for those who are trying to get their life back to whatever was normal as it's going to be in the new norm, to see all this equipment and no action, nothing happening. They can't do anything until they get the properties cleared and moved. So I'm not sure, and we have to get dig down, I hate to say drill into this as to exactly what's happening, but for whatever reason, some of the contractors that are under the guidance, from my understanding, under ODOT, just aren't on the scene, and I don't understand why.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More from State Senator Floyd Prezanski when we come back. The interview, a KQEN podcast at 541radio.com, 1248 at News Radio 1240, KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1250. Lars Larson coming at 1. News Radio 1240 KQEN. CBS Audio America changed forever with Gil Gross. That's on the way at 4. We're talking to State Senator Floyd Prezanski this afternoon, a number of legislative topics. A couple days ago, the governor extended the state of emergency till May. There's been a lot of pushback comments on social media about that, and I'm curious if you feel like that was the right action.
I'm not the bean counter certified person there, but what I can say is Oregon on a whole, compared to other states, we're doing very well. And so to me, based on the formula that she's put together and that she has been working and been effective, I think we do need to maintain that continuity. Now, does that mean that I agree with how she crossed every T or dotted every I? Absolutely not. So, I mean, there's got to still be some flex and to really address this. And you and I both know that having a system that you are ranked and graded based on how many affected cases, new cases, percentage, et cetera, it goes all in the formula as to where you rank and what you're able to do and under the categorization that you have for that current period of time. And, it is one of those things that all of us would at some point want to armchair on the quarterback scene that's making those calls. But at this point, I'm not opposed to what she did. I'm glad that it's done on a more limited time frame as compared to saying it's going to be for another 6 to 8 months. I mean, having smaller extensions give us the opportunity to redress. Not that she could never come back and say, okay, it's done, I'm moving out of this formula or process, but hopefully that will give some comfort, even though I know that even some of my colleagues are not real pleased with that, and in fact, unfortunately, walked out and, or didn't show up. I should say they didn't work even on the floor yesterday when we had a procedural move to move bills in the Senate, what we call second reading. If you remember, first reading is when the bill is introduced. Second reading is when it comes out of a committee. So before we can vote on it, it has to be moved to that process for the third reading. And so yesterday we had, I think, eight bills that were out of committee that would be the first set that would go to the floor. We're not able to be moved into the next stage because we did not have a quorum. We had 18, we needed 20. So what happened, unfortunately, is that there was a plan that had already been, I think, adopted by my colleagues on the Republican side of the Senate, focusing, and they put out a press release about 10 minutes into when our floor session was supposed to be scheduled to open. And then the priorities were basically threefold that they wanted to bring forward that they needed to do. And really, it was directed at the governor and the decisions of what the governor did. And I don't understand why, if you want to take on the executive branch, we're going to interfere with the work of the legislative branch. Because we still have our duties and obligations to do. And even though you disagree with the governor, I don't see slowing down the legislative process accomplish as much.
Now, some of the things that I saw from the Senate Republican office, they talked about the fact that this was a one-day protest. They were in committees yesterday and were going to be today as well. So different than the longer walkouts of the past, it sounded like they essentially were trying to make a point.
Well, I understand that, but I guess that same point could be made at a different day. Again, if the point was to go after the governor and the executive branch, stopping the procedures of this House, of the Senate, and shutting us down, because that's what it did. I mean, those bills did not get second read, so we cannot take those bills up on Wednesday when we would have been doing it and would be able to put some bills that were non-controversial out and actually move that process of those bills moving to the House where they have to be heard, scheduled and heard. I mean, I don't disagree and understand the frustration that they are attributing to the decision she's making. I just don't know if the approach they're taking really serves Oregonians.
Now, Lane County moving up to high today under the risk levels. Douglas County moving down to extreme. Big impact there on a lot of businesses with the switch here for Douglas County, while it's the reverse in Lane County.
Yes, it is. And that's, again, one of those situations that I hope that Lane County and the other counties that are coming on board, meaning that they've been downrated from extreme risk to just high risk, are understanding that, you know, you still need to maintain the precautions that you have that got you down to the level that you can start reopening areas, and doesn't take the mentality of, okay, we're out of it, so now we can do anything and everything without maintaining those precautions. So that's one of those situations that I will tell you that it's going to be quite interesting in Lane County. My wife and I had talked about potentially going out and maybe taking in a meal, but right now we're not comfortable doing that in an indoor enclosed setting, even though it is what it is, meaning it's limited for 25% occupancy, et cetera. I just think that one of those things is that some of the counties that have had that experience, and unfortunately I think it's happened in Douglas County, that the numbers took a dive in the sense of increasing the number of cases and stuff to the point of pushing them back into the extreme risk.
Now, here, county officials in Douglas County say there has been hardly any COVID cases tied to restaurants, but there's certainly the limitation there. One person brought up the point that the Oregon lottery machines are still on, which means you could go into one of these places, a bar, for instance, play the lottery, but not be allowed to eat or drink, which seems a bit odd.
It does to me. This is, I hate to be laughing, but this is the first I've heard of that. But that makes absolutely no sense to me. If the place is shut down in the sense of that they cannot have people indoors doing, having meals, why would you allow them to come in and do other things such as playing the lottery? Or, I mean, you can't drink inside of those establishments from what I understand. Everything's supposed to be outside. But Yeah, that's news to me. I had not heard that, and I will be asking my staff person to get the lottery to explain that, how that happened, or how's that happening.
Just about out of time. Final thoughts for folks as you head towards the weekend of exciting reading?
Well, I'm hoping at this point we're going to have, a meeting of the minds for all of us to be back in the building and working on Wednesday for the Senate. We're going to start doing 2-day floor sessions. And, of course, if we don't have a quorum, we won't be able to do anything. And, unfortunately, it will be kind of deja vu.
All right. State Senator Floyd Przanski, thanks for being on.
Oh, thank you very much. Be well.
1258, News Radio 1240, KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team, News Radio 1240 KQEN.